Good morning, church. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're new here today, I just want to, I do this ever so often. I'm going to do it again today. Crossfire Assembly, God raised it up. We are a church that we give God all the glory. Amen. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about Him. It's all about Him, and we do that through every facet, through our worship, through our preaching, teaching, whatever it is, we give God the glory, amen? Because if I start being concerned about you all the time, then I'll change my mode of preaching to please you instead of God, and I'm going to please God. I let God take care of you, amen? Because that's what He does through His Holy Spirit. And I thank God for Crossfire Assembly because He does have a plan for this church. And we're preparing for it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So today, I also want to mention, where's Mike? Mike Haver. Mike, there you are right there. Our brother's going to get baptized right after our service today. Are you excited for him? You want to get baptized too? Well, okay. We're excited for you. Hey, if you're a Christian in here, you should be excited. Amen. That's a step of obedience. Come on, people. Are you Pentecostal or you just got words? Is that all it is words? You want to be detailed, nitpicky. Is it words or do you have a true joy and love for the people of God? Do you have a true joy for the things of God? Do you? We should be excited about Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to speak on this, be an example of Jesus. I was gone last week, and while we were gone, this message was kind of burning in my heart as I saw all the people out there. And I thought, how much work we've got to do as the church to spread the word of God and not let the enemy deceive us into other things, but to realize we have a great commission to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to a dying world. Amen. That's what it's about. So Paul's amazing challenge to us. And we do. We live in a mixed up world. And people are so untrained in the Bible and mixed up about what a Christian is. Now nearly anything be labeled Christian and they'll believe it today. Mark, did you put in that thing is it in there? Can you pop that up there on the screen real quick? That's the way that it looked how long ago? The skyline of New York. 50s? You see the crosses in there on the buildings? That's it today. I can't remember the name of the god. Kali. That's the god. That's all. That's the skyline of New York today. An idol god. That's what's in America right now that's permitted to do this. Church, we've got to wake up. We've got work to do. The enemy is coming in all facets of all areas trying to destroy, and we've got to become the church. And we've got to be examples of Jesus Christ, don't we? We've got to be examples of Jesus Christ. What is a Christian? A true Christian is a person who has put faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ, including His death on the cross and the payment for sins and His resurrection on the third day. And then what is a Christian? A true Christian. The mark of a true Christian is love for others and obedience to God's word. True. True love. Amen? That's what it is. We love each other's. A true Christian is indeed a child of God, a part of God's true family. And one who has been given new life in Jesus Christ. And Paul commands us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and verses 15 and 16 to be example of what a Christian is. And it's important for Timothy both to encourage much reading of the Scriptures, to exhort the congregation to stronger Christian living, and to teach them sound doctrine. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'll start here. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And in verse 15, it goes on to say, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear it. Notice he even specifies the areas we need to concentrate. In word, conversation. What are you talking about? What are you telling people? What are they hearing, whether it be Christian or non-Christian? What are you talking about? In charity, agape love, God's love. In spirit, in faith, in purity. We're to meditate upon these things he's telling us. So we're going to look at the examples of Jesus, the necessity of being an example. See, the world wants to see Jesus, believe it or not. They really do. They want to see Jesus. In these verses, Paul gives Timothy and us a sobering and unavoidable charge before God. To be an example, a visible representation of what Christ is to a believing world. Unbelieving world. And if what we have is real, it ought to show, huh? Don't you think so? See, the world is crying out to see reality. John 12:21 says, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. That's what the world needs to see, is Jesus. And you probably see, you and I are probably the only Jesus in Bible the world is crying to see in reality, that they'll be able to see is you and I. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, ye are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of how many men? All men. All men, in the church and out of the church. And we can't lay it off on someone else to be a Christian. The responsibility falls on us. And it's a terrible thought, but people will judge Christ Jesus by us. And that's happening today too. They're looking at our life. They're listening to what we're saying, our mannerisms, our actions, and everything else. And even weaker, newer people in the church are looking around at the more mature ones and listening. And what are they saying? What are they trying to do? Are they lifting up Jesus Christ, or are they saying something else? That's why the world hates the church today. They think it's weak, it's pathetic. It's because, are we examples of Jesus? Are we examples of Jesus? If we sin, it will demonstrate to those around us that Christ isn't real worth serving. When we sin in front of the world, the owner of a hotel chain regularly tells her employees, remember, my reputation is in your hands. That's a good one, isn't it? People are watching our lives. They're listening and seeing what we're saying and doing. We must be examples. We must be careful how we act in our home. Amen? Amen? Come on, don't be afraid to say amen if you want to, because I want to speak some truth in our home. That's where it starts. How are you conducting, especially men, how are you conducting your home? Are you teaching your home that this is the way we live our life? Or are you permitting anything? Are you building up or tearing down? In front of our kids, our grandkids, they're looking at our lives. At our work, associates notice our honesty and our integrity. On vacation, we're observed. Some of you have been on vacation. I'm going on vacation, and there's people who will be observing us. They're going to be watching us, how we react in different circumstances. We are observed. The unbeliever around us notices our slightest indiscretion, our slightest one. Paul said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law are under the law, that I might gain them and are under the law. 1 Corinthians 9:19-20. Being made all things to all men does not involve compromise in the truth. Did you hear that? It doesn't involve compromise. People are not really one to the true Christ and his saving gospel by compromising with the beliefs and the behaviors of an ungodly world. That won't save them. I once had a guy tell me that that professed the name of Jesus and everything, and he would go into bars. He would go in there and he'd sit in there, and he said, I tell people about Jesus when I'm in the bars drinking. And I said, you're doing more hurt than good. Because if you're sitting there talking to somebody that's a drunk, that has lost their home, their job, their family, and you sit there trying to tell them Jesus is, he's the answer. With him. What good is that? Jesus said, we're to come out from among them and be ye separate. We're to be different than the world. Here's an illustration, always on duty. The Duke of Wellington, a general, asked an officer in uniform, why do you stand there so slouchy in non-military posture? The officer responded, sir, I'm off duty. Wellington replied, a British officer is never off duty. Always maintain your military bearing. That's a good word, isn't it? Because really, that's what we are in the army of God. We are soldiers of the cross, and we're always on guard at all times. We never know when the enemy is going to try to come through the front door and cause division and cause situations in people's lives, in churches, in jobs, in homes, or wherever we're at. He will even use you and I, and we won't even realize it. We got to be on guard and be ready in military form at all times and be ready to counter. Someone might respond, well, don't I have the right to live like I want to? The answer is not if you died with Christ and risen again. Dead men don't have any rights or want any. My question is, are you crucified with Christ? Are we crucified with him? How to become an example? The Greek word for example is tupas. Tupas. And here it means instrument used to stamp its image into others' lives. A diet like a signet ring was used to press an image into wax. That's an example that the scripture's talking about. The impression left in the wax gave authentication to the document that it was a genuine transmission from the power of the ring. See, God wants you and I to be formed into the image of Christ so that when we meet others, we will leave an impression on them. Not of ourselves, people. Not of ourselves. We're to be examples of Jesus. Paul was saying to Timothy, be a copy of Christ. Be a copy of him. Is the impress of Christ on you today? It says about the apostle in the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them and they had been with Jesus. I related with that one real quick. Jesus had left his impression upon their lives. Has he left it upon you, people? Has he left it upon you? Have you spent enough time with Jesus to be transformed, to be like him? You can talk about it. You can say the right things and try to make people think that this is what you're doing. But are you really? Amen? Are you really? See, God knows the intent of the heart. He knows the motive of what's going on in each one of us. The world's tired of seeing frauds, imposters, fakes, pretenders, and phony examples. They are dying for a genuine sold out, uncompromising, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-loving Christian. That's what they want. They may not like it at the point, but really that's what they want. They're looking for something that they can grab a hold of in this shaky old world right now, and you and I should be the examples of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Boldness. being on fire for the Lord, being filled with the power of His Holy Spirit, being willing to walk forward and proclaim the gospel and the grace and the mercy and love of God to a dying person. Have you ever done that? I watched God do a work yesterday at a funeral. He's still working there too, because it isn't me that does the work, it's the Holy Ghost. And it's exciting to see a living God that we serve doing a mighty work in the hearts of people. A Hindu trader in India once asked a missionary, "What do you put on your face to make it shine?" With surprise, the man of God answered, "I don't put anything on it." His questioner began to lose patience and said emphatically, "Yes, you do. All of you who believe in Jesus seem to have it. I've seen it in the towns of Agra and Surat, and even in the city of Bombay." Suddenly, the Christian understood. "Now I know what you mean, and I will tell you the secret. It's not something we put from the outside, but something that comes from within. It's the reflection of the light of God in our hearts. Is Jesus shining through you? Is He shining through you so that the world around you can see Jesus and not you?" After the missionary succeeded in leading the trader out of Hinduism into Christ, he led him to Jesus because Jesus showed through. The main characteristics of a Christian example is in speech also. Our Lord Jesus said, Matthew 12, 34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Jesus could be as severe in His condemnation of sin. Did you hear that? His condemnation of sin, especially the sins of pride and hypocrisy. Jesus could be very severe on that. Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? Matthew chapter 7, 15, 16, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Are they bringing together or are they disuniting? Mark them. God warned it. Satan is subtle. Just as you can tell what kind of a tree it is by fruits, banana, an apple, a pear, an orange, a lemon, so can you see if someone is really a Christian by what comes out of their mouths, in private or in corporate. Ephesians chapter 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer." Are you speaking things that bring grace into people's hearts? Do we do that? In the church, out of the church, are we speaking things that bring grace? Or are we so focused on ourselves that we only care what our feelings are, nobody else or anything, or God's agenda? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 addresses obscenities and dirty jokes. "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient," that means appropriate or fitting, "but rather giving of thanks." We should be a thankful people. People should hear us, even in the world, thanking the Lord for what He's done in our lives. Amen? And when I think of you and I'm in the world, I should say, "Lord, thank you for you." I should say to the world out there, "You need to come to Crossfire Assembly. We've got such great loving people. We are a people on fire for Jesus, and we love people, and we want to minister to you too." What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? We will give an account.
Matthew chapter 12, 36 and 37, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Everything we speak. You may think your intentions are good, but you better ask the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart and find out what are you speaking and what are you trying to do in your life. Because there will be a judgment day. You may not think nothing of it now. I told the people yesterday too, you may not think it's a big deal right now because everything seems like it's okay and everything. But I tell you, judgment day is coming, people. It's coming. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We as Christians should speak words that bring life and hope and knowledge of God and purpose and direction. And when you speak God's thoughts and words, you will bring healing. Did you hear that? You'll bring healing. You'll bring healing. That's why we pray for people in the church. Has God answered any prayers in your life? Have you been ministered to at Crossfire Assembly? That's why we do at Crossfire. We want to show the world that this is a place where they can come to receive healing, help, directions to those around. We should have a different kind of speech than the lost do. And then in conduct it says our life style must be worthy of the gospel. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Did you hear that? That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. How many spirits? One. With one mind. How many minds? Not two minds. Not three minds. God is calling us into unity. One mind. And if we go outside that, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. What are we trying to do at Crossfire Assembly? The Lord knows what we're trying to do, doesn't he? He knows that I, as a pastor, and you as a people that he's called in here, we are striving to reach out to a lost and dying world. We want to reach out to your families. We want to reach people with the truth of the Word of God. That's what we want to do. We don't want to be like the woman whose boss caught her goofing off. Why aren't you working? She confessed, because I didn't see you coming. See, our conversations, our business transactions, our modes of dress, our style of living, our entertainments are all involved in being an example of Jesus. There's nothing which we do or say or purpose that is exempted from the rules of the kingdom of God. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may be made by your good works, which they shall behold, meaning eyewitnesses, glorify God in the day of visitation. Is your conversation bringing glory to God privately or in the open? Is it bringing glory to God? Are we constantly thinking, how are we affecting our brothers and sisters in Christ? It's if I have a communication with Brian over here, I can talk about a lot of things. I can either be a person, a man of God, and we can fellowship the things of God, or I can look for nitpicking stuff, right? And I can bring you down with me. And I can make you sour to the point where people have left churches because they get soured. Are we being examples of Christ? See, visitation in here, meaning a bishop or overseer. Idea here evidently is that of God coming as an overseer to diligently inspect the actions of both the believer and the unbelievers. That's what he does. It says, Jesus said himself in Matthew chapter 5, 13, 14, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, have you lost it? I heard T.D. Jakes say that he said, you know, one problem with the churches today is they quit witnessing. I had to agree with that brother. They quit witnessing. They don't do it anymore like they used to. So Satan gets us involved in a lot of other junk instead of doing what God has called us to do. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you know something, people? We've got people going our computer thing for Crossfire. What do they call that? Our site. Yeah, website. There's people in the world going in there that I've talked to, that I've run across, that know this church, and guess what? They think it's awesome. Other parts of the metro. I've got people where I work that come up to me and say, wow, you guys are really something. And guess what I get to do to them? I get to witness. People are listening. There's something happening out there. We're making preparation for that. But are we being the salt and light God wants us to be? In love, Paul mentions love. Love is a powerful thing, isn't it? It's a real powerful thing. Love is the strongest power in the world. There's a kind of love that helps you raise your kids when the little tykes aren't so lovable. And parents see the long picture, helping their kids grow from untrained, selfish little creatures into society broken young adults who've learned to take care of themselves but who live for a higher purpose than themselves. Don't we? There's some adults that need to take that too. Marital love is not too much different either. Both imperfect partners learn to yield their rights and serve each other and grow up in God. Ouch! Love is the binding force that holds them together when conflicts and differences arise. See, the visible church needs a baptism of God's love. We preach that God is love. I've heard some of you say God's love. Is he? Is he truly love? Does God love his church? Does he want to keep his church strong and vibrant and on fire? Does he? That's God's love for us. That's true love. Paul talked about love. He said it in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 7. Charity, meaning love, or could be God's agape love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not after her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I love the Word of God. It helps me to know how to live my life, to be an example of the way Jesus tells me to be, not somebody else. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. People, we need to be an example of the love of God to one another, especially. Because if we don't love each other, the Scripture teaches us that the love of the Father is not in us. It's not in us. We need to love each other. And by loving each other, we can go into a dying world and love the Muslim. We can love the cult people out there and all the different cults and all the worldly people, the atheists. We can love them with a true love that is talking about here and be the true church. Is that scriptural? You bet it is. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Are we doing that? Are we willing to lay down our lives for one another? See, God loves to look beyond skin color or social standings. It's love which gives and sacrifices so that people might know Jesus. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye, listen to this now, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know what that means? It means that you might make me mad someday. I need to forgive you if it does. You may not understand something sometime and you get upset. Well, we learn to forgive. That's what the scripture is telling us here, to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgive. Because you and I, all of us, none of us in here, even if you were up here or down there, whatever, none of us will do everything right all the time. Will we? But those are the times when Satan will take action on those things that we may not you perceive or somebody else might perceive not correct, and he will try to bring division. And that's a dangerous thing. And we need to be aware of that. We need to take the Word of God and be an example of what Jesus is telling us right here. And then in faith, a person whose excellent example is consistently faithful, doesn't swerve off the track or deviate from his course. The Apostle Paul was one of those people. You can read about it. Despite great suffering, he wrote this in 2 Timothy 4:7-8. And I'm getting close here to being finished. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I love God's appearing. I'm excited. I'm fearful, but I'm excited. We need to tell people. I told people yesterday, a group of people. I told them, you need to be excited. You have hope and a future if you have Christ Jesus living in you. You have tomorrow. You have his soon coming. We don't need to get caught up in junk. We need to get caught up in professing the name of Jesus to a dying world. And watch God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, move upon homes and families and bring them into the kingdom. And not allow Satan to trip us up. Beware. Also, we need to be people of faith. We need to see these things that not as though they are. Faith perceiving as real fact the things which are not yet revealed to the senses. We need to believe the angels are moving in answer to our prayers. Ministering spirits, the scriptures teach us about them. And that all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord. We need to be positive because the best is yet to come when our Lord Jesus blows his trumpet. We're caught up together with him in the clouds to forever be with the Lord in the city made of gold and precious stones. It's coming! Woo! I'm excited. And then in purity, Paul ends the list with rarely used term for virtue and chastity. The writer of Hebrews here reminds us in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men. What did I just say? And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We still need to diligently follow after peace and holiness in a practical sense by his enabling grace. Amen? It's by his grace. If we would see him in faith, even now. Timothy was Paul's appointed pastor to the church of Ephesus, a city described in Revelation as the seat of Satan because it was in the location of a massive temple of Diana. We just saw that picture up on the screen with that idol god that they put up on that building. Paul experienced that, the Temple of Diana, where there was a tremendous amount of shrine prostitution and immorality going on. See, moral impurity was a part of the fabric of that city, and it had to be resisted. We live in the same kind of morally corrupt society today, so this instruction is especially important for us today. See, isn't that amazing how God's Word is right up to date? It's right up to date. It addresses even our modern-day situations in life. We need to be careful to have pure minds and hearts and mouths. People, you need to ask the Holy Spirit just like I do. Lord, help me to have a pure mind and a pure heart and a pure mouth. There's times when the mouth wants to get out of order. I need the Lord's help. Paul instructed Timothy to do the opposite. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We need to be examples of Jesus. When you are an example of Jesus, your life will be so much more exciting. Oh, you're still going to have trials and tribulations, and the enemy will always try to come in and take that away from you, but you stay on the Word of God. You don't get off it. You don't let some or something distract you from what the Scriptures teach. What a concept if every Christian would purpose to go the opposite direction toward holiness. There wouldn't be any or much chance of falling into immorality or sin or deception and all these other things if we would just choose to flee from certain things and go the opposite direction to the things that are trying to tear down and divide. We'd get away from them. There are some things so dangerous that the Bible simply says we're to flee from. I'm not going to open up the Scripture to him, but first is the love of money in 1 Timothy 6, 10, 11, idolatry in 1 Corinthians 10, 14, fornication in 1 Corinthians 6, 18, and especially the wrath to come, Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to close with this. Richard Wurmbrand, who spent 14 years suffering in a communist prison, reminds all believers with less than ideal circumstances that if the heart is cleansed by the love of Jesus Christ, and if the heart love him, you can resist all tortures. He says, God will not judge us according to how much we endured, but how much we could love. The love of God is demonstrated in the lives of his people, is potent. Wurmbrand gives an example. A Christian was sentenced to death. Before being executed, he was allowed to see his wife. His last words to his wife were, "You must know that I die loving those who kill me. They don't know what they do, and my last request of you is to love them too. Don't have bitterness in your heart because they kill your beloved one. We will meet in heaven." See, these words impressed the officer of the secret police who'd attended the discussion between the two. Wurmbrand heard the story from the secret police officer in prison where he had been put for becoming a Christian. The Christian left such an accurate representation of Christ on the officer that he was indelibly marked. And God wants to make you his signet ring as well. Haggai chapter 2, 23 says, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord." Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to be examples of Jesus, people. We need to get focused away from ourselves and start focusing on the one who saves us, who's coming back. We need to be focused on a lost and dying world that Jesus said to go out and to spread the good news. But we can't do that if we're selfish. We can't do that if we're looking within ourselves all the time and not looking out to our world. My goal and purpose when I wake up every morning is saying, "Lord, how can you use me today? How can you shine through my life to bring somebody in?" I watched a lady give her life to the Lord yesterday, and it was so exciting. Wasn't it exciting?
Yes, it was, yeah.
I talked to her a little bit, Renee, unless you were there, and I talked to this lady, and I could see Jesus.
Amen.
He came into this lady's heart that was hurting. That's what it's about. This lady was hurting. The Holy Ghost showed me things in her life, and I told her, and I'm not going to tell you. But he brought healing to a lady yesterday. That's what I long for. That's what I desire. Everything else means nothing but salvation of a soul. First and only. With our heads bowed, is there anybody in here that walked in here this morning? And you said, "I want to know that Jesus. I want to be an example of Jesus." Is there anybody by chance that have come in here and you say, if I died today, I don't know where I would go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I hope I would. Well, don't rely on hope. The Bible says you can know that you have salvation. You need to simply just say to Jesus, I surrender. I repent of my sins. Is there anybody in here like that that doesn't know and you would like to know that? Just raise up your hand if there is. I know we can know everybody. That's all right, but I'm going to keep doing it. Because the Holy Ghost can do work that I can't. Is there anybody in here that says with me, with my hand already up, I need to be more an example of Jesus. I need the help to be more like Jesus. I need to be like Jesus. I failed, Lord. I fail so many times, but I need to be like Jesus. Lord, you see our hands. And I ask that the Holy Spirit right now, every hand raised that says, I need to be more of an example of Jesus in my life. Holy Spirit, speak into these people's hearts as well as mine. Convict our hearts and souls when we want to go the different direction or a wrong direction or something contrary to your word. Lord, bring conviction there. Help us to be ever so sensitive of the people around us in the church, out of the church, that our actions, our words, our intentions, our motives can either make it or break people's lives for eternity. I pray that for each one of us, Father, your people. Not my people, your people, Father. That this week even the Holy Spirit will use us to touch somebody's life. And Lord, right now I thank you and praise you for what you've done today and are doing and will continue to do in our lives. And we commit this week into your hands also, Lord. Use us, open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open in our lives, Father. Lead us the way you would have us to go. And I pray that for every home that's represented, I pray blessings. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit move upon every home. And Lord, that we come back next week with expectation, with a heart full of love for Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go in my office. Well, I'm not going to do it in my office, but I'm going to go and change my clothes. Too many windows. We're going to run out to the back, and you're welcome to wait in here while we do that a little bit in fellowship. But come and see a brother get baptized and a sister in Christ. Amen. Come and see him. We need to rejoice in this, don't we? I'm going to go change, and you just Amy can play a song and sing something with you, or you can pray or praise the Lord. I'll be right back.